I'm Matthew Smith, Vermont Edition producer, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Look, we've been lucky so far, but there's no doubt that sometime soon we'll hit the skids. Literally. Winter driving in Vermont is no joke. So today we're going to get scientific about snow tires, stern about slowing down, and solicitous about salting and brining. We're going to spend some time talking about winter road conditions, car equipment, and driving skills. So buckle up and join us. Okay, I promise I'm done. Here in the studio with me are three dudes. Hans Dyerman, Director of Marketing for Nokian Tires North America. Hans, nice to see you again.
Thank you very much for having me.
John Flanagan, Vermont State Police Lieutenant. Nice to see you, Lieutenant.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
And Dave Blackmore, Regional District Administrator for VTrans, Vermont's Agency of Transportation. Dave, nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I think we probably should have added to this panel a psychologist who could talk a little bit about why everyone thinks he or she is a really good driver in the snow and everybody else on the road is doing terribly. But Lieutenant Flanagan, I'm sure you see that kind of attitude on the road. So what's the first piece of advice? Just stop being cocky about driving in the winter?
Yeah, well, we see that attitude all year round, but especially in winter, you know, the thing that we always try to beat the drum is speed. Speed is a factor in many of the crashes that we see throughout the winter season. And then besides that is having good winter tires on your vehicle. I think those are the two biggest priorities that we always try to relay to the public.
Speed limits are for
clear, dry, daylight conditions. And anytime you add something else to that, like ice, snow, even rain, and even nighttime conditions, you have to back off that speed.
Sometimes it's unclear that the conditions have deteriorated to a point that you do need to slow down until you try to slow down and you realize that it's a little bit slippery underneath you. Or you see somebody else that's gone off the road and think, ooh, all right, maybe I need to slow down. I mean, how do people know other than obviously, you know, a lot of snow coming down?
And that's really tough. And sometimes when we have changing conditions where maybe rain is starting to freeze up, sometimes the pavement is colder than the air temperature. And I think you just always have to be prepared for, you know, changing conditions, especially here in northern New England, because those are things that, especially if you've spent time here, that you've come to expect is going to happen.
Hans Dyerman, Lieutenant Flanagan kind of set you up. He said one of the keys here is a snow tire. So give us the sell. Why should we be having snow tires?
Well, actually, one of the first things to talk about is the difference between a snow and a winter tire out there. So commonly known are snow tires, and that's what I grew up calling them. But actually, today, we're focused on calling them winter tires.
And that's more than semantics.
It is more than semantics. It's based upon the idea that they're developed to be able to work what's really 6 months out of the year in a northern Vermont climate here in colder temperatures. Anything that where it falls 45 degrees below or less is a great are ideal conditions for a winter tire.
45 degrees or less, not 45 degrees below.
Correct.
Or less, right? Okay, phew, pardon. Good. Because I was going to say, I don't think we ever hit that, really, I hope. So it's not just for snow, it's for cold. Why? What's happening with the rubber on a tire that the temperature matters as much as the actual road condition?
Yeah, so I think we need to take a look at it and see where what types of tires we have on our vehicles today. Most cars come off the lot with an all-season tire. An all-season tire is designed to be good in average conditions out there. But we all know that Vermont is far from average.
That's right.
And we certainly have some cold and snowy, icy winters out there. So a winter tire, actually, the rubber that's used in a winter tire utilizes a lot more natural rubber, which is not nearly as temperature sensitive. And so it maintains its properties even as the temperature drops.
Dave Blackmore with VTrans, can you explain, first of all, a little bit the difference between salt and brine and which conditions are prime for each one of those?
Well, brine is no more than another tool in our toolbox that supports our salting program. Rock salt is the basis of pretty much clearing our roadways. It's been around forever, since the 1950s. And ironically, you know, even though brine seems to be a surprise or something that people aren't familiar with, brine has been here since the first day that we dropped a kernel of salt on the road, because rock salt by itself does nothing until moisture gets to it. And brine is no more than water and salt mixed together at a reduced salt rate. the advantages of rock salt being 98% sodium chloride, the brine that we're using to assist our programs is 23.3% solution. And therefore, it allows us to bring our application rates down to a more manageable level and also more environmentally friendly level here to combat our winter months. The two are pretty much being used all the time. There, as a matter of fact, there's very few times right now that we're not using brine in addition to our salt applications for a couple of good reasons. Number one, I've already spoken about the fact that it lowers those applications for the environment.
Why does brine actually lower the application for road salt, for rock salt?
Well, good question. A couple of good reasons. Number one, I mentioned that rock salt will do nothing in dry weather. So the liquid allows a jump start, number one, on our salt. It also boosts that that percentage of sodium chloride in it, so we're able to bring down applications. And in our world of treating roads, it's all about pounds per mile of salt. And so, you know, years ago we were talking about applications of 500, 600, 800 or more pounds per mile. Where since we've been into our brine program, we're actually able to bring those application rates down to more manageable 250 to 500 pounds, being a heavier application now. So, it does help to reduce salt. And the other area where it also assists is that we found that by coating the salt as it comes out of the truck, it allows for less bounce and scatter, we call it. We save 30 to 40% of that bounce and scatter by keeping it on the road where it can do some good to be able to treat that roadway.
So if I'm out on the highway and I see some V-Trans plows going by before a storm starts, they're often applying that brine before you really get the bulk of the storm so that you sort of prepped the road?
Our trucks right now, most of them have lots of capabilities. One of them is that we can either put down straight liquid brine because we have spray bars on the back of them, or most commonly used that we use all the time is actually applying this liquid brine right at, we call it the spinner. That's where the discharge point where the rock salt comes out. The straight anti-icing program that we are trying to use more during a sensitive time when we have that low sodium concentration on the roadways is either in a form of straight brine, 23.3% solution. And depending upon if that temperature has fallen down, we do get in to put in a 5% additive to be able to prepare that road for some incoming storms, primarily during the nighttime when it's a little bit of a disadvantage for us to get out there and be on top of things. We have these common hot spots, if you will, that we know give problems, and we're trying to get out there and address these ahead of the storm.
So people who drive between Burlington and Montpelier might know that the Bolton Flats is or maybe not the flats, but the hill coming up from the Bolton Flats is a real trouble spot. Is that one of those areas where you might be doing work in advance and you've got places like that all over the state that you've targeted?
We do. I mean, that Bolton Flats is notorious for giving us adverse weather conditions, both from the wind and the all different kinds of temperatures. We have the French Hill area that is steep and grades, very similar to Three Mile Hill in Montpelier and Berlin area. We have other areas that are just commonly situated around bridges, say like around that exit 18 area up north, coming down a steep grade, and now you're onto a bridge. And that's one of the things that we like to get the word out, that people don't always expect that they may be driving on a bare dry road until they come to a bridge sometimes, and it's all ice.
Let's go to David, who's calling in from Johnson. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi. I just was calling. I'm a truck driver, and I just wanted to make people a little more aware of how long it actually takes for an 18-wheeler to slow down or stop. I see it a lot of times during the winter, even during the summer, where people pull out in front of me or cut me off, and a lot of them don't seem to realize that it takes a long time to stop a vehicle that's 80,000-plus pounds.
Yeah, David, thanks for that. Thanks for that reminder. It takes trucks a long time to stop. And, you know, in adverse conditions, Lieutenant Flanagan, you must see this on the roads, too, that, you know, the truck drivers are also on the roads. They're trying. But, yeah, you got to be aware of what's around you, not just how you drive and what your vehicle is.
Yeah, we talk about following distance a lot, too, in these circumstances, because one of the other common areas that we see is what we call tailgating or following too closely, where drivers are not putting enough distance between themselves and the vehicle ahead of them. So certain vehicles are going to take much longer to stop than other vehicles. The larger you go, usually the longer it's going to take for them to come to a safe stop. So especially during winter weather, you have to increase that following distance significantly.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think often you see people in big SUVs with four-wheel drive and good winter tires, and they seem to make an assumption sometimes that, you know, look, I can go a little faster, I can drive well, I know what I'm doing, and maybe forget that the car in front of you might be a sedan that's front-wheel drive and has no winter tires. And if you're not paying attention to the conditions around you and who's driving around you, you can still be part of an accident, even if you think your car is in great shape.
Absolutely. And that happens where folks start to get on the brakes. All of a sudden, maybe they're not paying attention or there's some other hazard on the highway. And whether they're in all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive or front-wheel drive, they find themselves going into a skid and going off on off the road.
Hans Dierman, this is where winter tires are also helpful, though, right? When we talk, I mean, we were talking about braking. David was saying it takes big rigs a long time to brake, but part of the reason for having a winter tire is actually exactly for braking, right?
Certainly, a winter tire will definitely help in reduce your stopping distance in adverse conditions in those colder winter temperatures.
Why? What's it doing? How does it that winter tire actually make it easier for my car to stop?
Well, there's a lot of things that the tire's doing, and it really depends on the type of conditions that we have out there. As I mentioned before, when we're talking about temperature and dry roads, the tire can just bind better to the road when we're stopping, even if it's dry, colder conditions. If it's snowy or icy, a lot of people choose to use studded tires here in Vermont. And certainly studded tires, when we're talking about icy conditions, have a drastic reduction in your braking distance.
Yeah, no rules on studs in Vermont, right? Some states don't like you to use studded tires, and in Vermont it's perfectly legal?
That's true. There are some states that don't allow studded tires, but here in Vermont, they are allowed.
Stud away. All right. Listeners, our number 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. If you have a question or if you want to talk about winter driving, we got a note from Nichol in Guilford who says, I have a question about the science of braking. It is common wisdom that if you add weight to your car, it will help you stop, especially when the road is slick or covered with ice and snow. But in any first semester science class, you're told that basically, when using the brakes, that the distance it takes you to stop is independent of the weight of the body being stopped. It's friction, but it also means you have more weight to stop. So, in short, the two things should exactly cancel each other out. So what's the story here? Any of you good at physics, Hans? You're looking at me like, uh-oh, Lieutenant Flanagan?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is with tires and the surface, whether it be a dry surface or other surfaces, you have more friction. So when you put a more aggressive tread on there and even some weight, you're going to create more friction between that tire and the surface, whether it be blacktop or ice or snow.
So it's not that it cancels itself out. It's that if you have more weight, that's actually going to increase the friction because that weight is pushing down on the tire, and therefore it would help you stop if you're a little weightier?
That's my guess at this point.
Nichol, I think you may have to answer this question for us and call us back. Dave Blackmore, when we talk about winter driving, often there's this feeling that we should be able to drive no matter what the conditions, because we all have busy lives. We all have things we want to get to. We all have priorities. And we often hear, I mean, the governor will sometimes come out in a winter storm and say, please don't drive if you don't have to. And, you know, I think for many of us in our heads, it's like, yeah, but I have to. I got to get to the grocery store, or I've got to do that holiday shopping. What's the philosophy we should be following? I mean, from your perspective with VTrans, is it anybody should be able to go out in any conditions and you're going to salt the heck out of the roadway to make sure that that happens? Or should we be thinking something different in our heads?
Well, that's a good question, because we're finding that every year to be more demanding. Our customers are expecting us to have a high level of service out there for them to be able to travel about any time they're beck and call. Obviously, there should be some common sense along the way. If you don't have to drive during adverse conditions, don't. However, we want to be able to supply our customers with the best level of service we can. And we do have a snow and ice control plan on our website, and I offer anyone to go there and take a look at that. But the bottom line is we have, you know, we support what we call core hours. The interstate system, we're out there at 3 o'clock in the morning till around 10 o'clock at night. All of the other roads, secondary roads, it's 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Between 10 and that 3 or 4 o'clock the next morning, we have a reduced shift out there. as number one, we are not set up with staffing for a 24/7 shift. So we are really thin during the wintertime. And however, we do try and provide some service out there, especially during plowing events. It's all about plow, plow, plow. During those 10 to 4 in the morning, you're going to see some snow-covered roads. So we ask people to come prepared for that and drive accordingly. We have various levels of service on our webpage with these orange, blue, green, yellow roads. And we try and maintain that level of service, meaning that, you know, we're trying to be out ahead of the time on especially the orange and the blue roads being pre-treating some of these bad areas. We are using a little more material on these orange, blue, and green roads that we are on the yellow roads. After the storm subsides, you will see these orange, blue, and green roads clean up quicker. Compared to those yellow roads, probably you're going to see one-third of a material or snow left on these. But these yellow roads are usually a much lower volume. There may very well be a mountain-type route that, you know, you have some really adverse conditions out there. But the bottom line is during those core hours, we're going to be out there fully staffed, and we're prepared to be able to treat those roads, you know, accordingly. Now, make no mistake, we do not have a barrel policy. People have to remember that. There are going to be times where we're going to struggle to keep, you know, the snow plow down just by itself during heavy snowfall. Those little flash storms tend to be really, really challenging for us and for the traveling public because they're unexpected. We get out there and we respond as quickly as we can. We're trying to be proactive with many different mechanisms out there watching these weather conditions come into Vermont. And we're trying to stay on top of it. But there are going to be times when, especially with those storms with particularly the northwest side of the state, when the storm comes from New York into Vermont, we don't see it until it lands along that interstate corridor really quickly. And sometimes they come in fast and furious, and we're at a challenge, especially if these are happening during those main commuting times, either in the morning or in the afternoon. So we ask folks to be aware, just like we say all the time in this day and age, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the weather that's coming in. You know, think about it the night before going into the next morning about commuting time and allow a little more time because most likely it's going to take you a little longer to get to work if those roads are snow-covered.
Before we let you go, Dave, just very quickly, I'd like to go to Glenn, who's calling in from Cabot. Glenn, I understand you have a question about snowplow drivers in particular.
I do. And first of all, a big shout out to all the people who take care of and maintain the roads in the winter here in Vermont. It's just a fantastic job you're doing. But my question is about the attitude that drivers should adopt when they're behind a caravan of plows. I mean, what really, how does your thinking have to change in those situations?
Dave?
Well, you know, our folks, you know, we're roughly 350 or so deep here, all of our drivers, and we gear up for winter. And, you know, we try and address those roads in a very timely manner. We don't team up much minus the interstate. You will see us tandem, plowing in tandem at times. We don't do that very often, but there are storms we have to do that. but we try and make sure that we provide our drivers with lots of training, actually, and get them prepared for winter as well as their equipment. And so they're of mind, you know, of being mindful of, you know, our customers out there during commuting times. And we try and be as friendly as we can to get out of their way when we can. But what you have to keep in mind, you know, the best place to be sometimes or most of the time when we're plowing snow is behind that truck, not out in front of it. And I know that our trucks travel slow when they're applying materials, roughly that 25 to 30 mile an hour, and people get impatient. And I know they want to go by us, but if you choose to do so, keep in mind that road ahead of that plow truck is probably not going to be as good a condition as behind it.
That's Dave Blackmore, Regional District Administrator for VTrans. Dave, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Hans Dyerman and Lieutenant Flanagan are sticking with us. We're talking about winter driving and getting some tips on skills we can put to use this season, as well as some answers about winter tires. For instance, I've been corrected. They're not snow tires. They're winter tires. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Hans Dyerman is with Nokian Tires North America, which has its corporate headquarters in the U.S. here in Colchester. John Flanagan is a lieutenant with the Vermont State Police. Let's go to Jeremy, who's calling in from Hubbardton. Hi, Jeremy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to sort of reiterate a couple of points as far as easy things to remember when driving. Earlier on, when I was in the Army, I was tapped for a safe winter driving course to teach it to a lot of people from the South that I was serving with. And pretty much the main points that I wanted them to remember are put quite simply. One is, all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive does not mean all-wheel drive or four-wheel stop. You have to remember that under braking, you're basically an unguided missile. And that goes sort of back to being aware of your surroundings and knowing what's around you, because the second point is you can either brake or steer. You cannot do both. And as I said, if you're, you know, get yourself into a situation where you're suddenly out of control, sometimes it's actually best to let off the brake in order to restore a little bit of steering. And that goes to the point of being aware of your surroundings, knowing kind of how to aim the car, being careful. And as always, you know, we talk about keeping speeds down, increasing your following distance, and also keeping in mind that going to the points that the representative from V-Trans was mentioning, being aware of in certain spots on the road, sometimes conditions can change very quickly. You know, driving by that rock face, sometimes come around the corner and the road is basically clear, but you come around into that portion of shade, and despite their best efforts, it's, you know, pretty much glare. You have to keep in mind, well, what's going on with the road conditions as well as everyone you're driving around.
Yeah, Jeremy, thanks for those tips. I really appreciate it. And, you know, thinking about yourself and in your car as an unguided missile is a little bit terrifying, but good to remember. You know, you're trying to avoid having to get into that skid in the first place and then, you know, trying to brake and steer at the same time in a skid. Thank you for that. Appreciate it, Jeremy. Let's go to Bill in Colchester. Hi, Bill. You have a question?
Hi, Jane. My question has to do with a whiteout that's caused by a tractor trailer. This is particularly an issue on the interstate or any high-speed road. It seems like the best driving strategy would be to slow down, but I really don't know what the best strategy is, because I can see that if I hit the brakes, somebody behind me who's in a whiteout might run into the back of me, and if I don't slow down, I run the risk of leaving the roadway or getting hit by, you know, a vehicle in front of me who has put on their brakes. So I really don't know what the best strategy is.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for the question. Lieutenant Flanagan, what would you say? I mean, those big trucks, and especially if you're in a smaller car, sometimes even the larger SUVs and trucks can cause that kind of whiteout condition for you.
Yeah, we see this issue, and we've heard some complaints before, especially some tractor trailers that are pushing the limits and driving probably too fast for the conditions in the first place. But as a driver, there's not a whole lot you can do about that. So I think probably the best thing to do is to definitely decrease your speed, slow down, because, you know, once they throw some snow up, and even if they have some snow that's still on top of their trailer, that creates a very, very hazardous condition for the driver. So the best thing would be to, you know, don't stop, or if you can safely pull off, that would be fine.
You mean the truck goes by?
Before it goes down. But I would say if you're on an interstate, typically if they're passing, that's probably where it's going to be, is to just decrease your speed.
Yeah, and you know, if you are on the interstate, you can often see them coming up behind you and maybe decrease your speed before you hit that whiteout condition, so then those cars behind you can see you're braking before that truck actually goes by.
Hopefully they're paying attention to you reducing your speed as well, and they're doing the same.
Are you finding that people are not, though? I mean, we keep hearing about distracted driving, and I'm sure it still happens even in snowstorms. I mean, I always worry. I'm going to brake because there's something happening that I need to brake quickly, and I'm always scared that the person behind me is not paying attention.
That definitely plays into this in some degree. I think it's just overall speed and people being aware of their surroundings and what's going on at that time. And our focus as drivers really needs to be, the priority is on safe driving. And we say that all the time. And when we're in these conditions and, you know, having experience out on these storms on our interstates, especially, you know, not far from the studio on Interstate 89, we find during storms, especially, you know, we prepare when it's something that's going to be really affecting the work week during commuter hours, whether it be morning or evening. We're really challenged with that. And these areas sometimes become parking lots because folks just aren't prepared. They're not slowing down. They have tires are not adequate for driving, or a combination of those things. And that really creates a hazardous situation for not only other drivers, but the first responders that are going out there to tend to vehicles, tow operators as well. So we really need people to pay attention, because we've had a lot of close calls where we've had members of the state police that are jumping guardrails because of vehicles coming at them.
Yeah, how terrifying. Wayne is on the line with us from Hinesburg. Hi, Wayne. What are you wondering about?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yeah, so doing some research on tires a little while ago, I remember reading about studs versus unstudded, and that studs aren't necessarily always the best option, depending on the kind of conditions that you're typically into. You know, if you're not on ice, sometimes the braking performance can actually be worse. I'm just curious what the gentleman from Nokian thinks about that. And then just a comment, I remember people talking about learning how to drive in the snow. When I was younger, I grew up in Western Mass, and I would actually, I remember doing donuts in a empty parking lot for fun, but I actually learned how the car would kind of react in weird situations in the snow, and maybe you don't want to encourage people to do that, but it was actually kind of an interesting learning experience. So,
Wayne, yeah, thanks for that. All right, parents out there, if you're teaching your teenagers to drive, go, you know, let them go do donuts in a snow-covered parking lot. You heard it from Wayne. But Hans, to Wayne's question about, you know, studs being good in ice but maybe not good in other conditions, where's the balance?
Certainly, we see that studded snow tires perform much better in icy conditions, whether that's in braking or accelerating. In accelerating, you can see up to 50% improvement, actually. In braking, 20% improvement with a studded tire. And when you look at a studded versus a non-studded tire, there is a slight advantage in snow, but it's very close, actually. So when you think about the overall conditions that you look at out there, we certainly recommend going with a studded snow tire.
You do. So even if most of the time you're driving in fairly clear conditions, you'd still advocate for a studded winter tire over a non-studded winter tire?
I think in the conditions that we see here in Vermont and the greater listening area, we never know, and we always want to prepare for the worst conditions out there. So, and the safest choice is a studded snow tire.
We got a note from Rachel who says, any tips for getting an automatic unstuck using whatever's in your car and when you're alone? It's been a problem for me. Do either of you have tips? So if you get your automatic car stuck in a snow bank, how do you get it out? You know, just keep a cardboard box in your car to, you know, shove under one of the tires? What's the best strategy?
I would recommend to keep some sort of sand, you know, that's accessible. There are some other things that are sold commercially that will grip between the surface as well as a tire. But we also recommend that people keep an emergency winter kit available that has jumper cables, flares, reflectors, extra windshield washer fluid, a small shovel, ice scrapers, antifreeze blankets, and a first aid kit.
So antifreeze blankets, and what about blankets for yourself? I mean, if your car goes off in a ditch and it's 20 degrees and you got your kids in the back, should you have those emergency blankets for yourself?
Absolutely. Those blankets are in case you do get stuck and it's real cold. And sometimes the safest place is to stay in your vehicle. And what we see, sometimes people aren't prepared and say, well, you know, I've got my cell phone. If I get in trouble, I can call. But we are in Vermont, and there's places where we're not going to get cell coverage. So we always say, don't become over-dependent on a cell phone, and it's going to work.
Two other questions we can answer really quickly. We got one from Milton about studded tires in Quebec, and our crack team looked it up. Studded tires are permitted between October 15th and May 1st in Quebec, so there's the rule for you on Quebec. And Rachel asked about getting an automatic unstuck. Well, Jack in Belvedere emails to say, I have found that for my small front-wheel drive car, even with four excellent winter tires, it's important to add a sandbag in the trunk to help keep the car on the road in icy conditions. So, Rachel, maybe you could piggyback on that. Have your sandbag in the car for keeping your car weighted down, but then use it if you need to get unstuck. All right. You know, we'll all be talking about winter driving soon enough, and we're already here if you just look at the weather temperatures. So I appreciate both of you having this conversation with us, and I'll keep it in mind as I go forth this winter. John Flanagan is a Vermont State Police Lieutenant. Hans Dyerman is Director of Marketing for Nokian Tires North America. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having us.